Good morning. It's great to see everyone here today. It's a beautiful day outside, and I hope it will be a beautiful day in our hearts as well. It's always great to speak here at Central Congregational Church. It's been about 20 years now since our first time, and after we were all done the first Sunday, I said to my wife, Kathy, I hope they invite us back. And sure enough, you folks did, and each time we are here at the church, whether we're in the congregation or up front, it's always a blessing to be here. A number of years ago, when I first started preaching here on and off, my dad would come, and he would sing a solo for me, and or for us, and then he'd also jump in the choir and sing with them as well. And I have many happy memories of my parents coming with us to this church many, many years ago. I'd like to begin with something now that I hope will make you smile, with special thanks to Dana and Lori and many others that have contributed to this. Bob Chandler is another one that's often given me things. Church Signs 2019. Number one, life is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Two, exercise. Daily, run from Satan. And the fastest way to a long life is to walk with God. Three, God should be our steering wheel, not our spare tire. Choose your navigator carefully. Four, let's meet at my house Sunday before the game. God. Five, dear Lord, help me to be the person my dog thinks I am. Six, God doesn't use Twitter, but we can still follow him. Well, God can use anything, of course, for his glory and to share the message of his great love. Seven, experts made the Titanic. Amateurs made the Ark. Eight, a long time ago, in a galley far, far away, the final episode is already written. Nine, ask God for help. And finally, if God is all you have all you need. The title of this morning's message is Spiritual Weather. Spiritual Weather, and it's taken from Romans 12, 11 through 14. Why don't we look that up together? Romans 12, 11. And it's found in the Pew Bible on page 1049. Romans 12, beginning with verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So how is your spiritual weather? Well, thinking about weather, my wife, Kathy, enjoys warm, sunny beaches. She loves going to the beach. I'd rather enjoy a good blizzard. Well, maybe not the blizzard. I'm not big on the shoveling, but the after effects, because I love to go skiing, and I love to take our young people and some of our adults as well to ski up at Blue Hills and sometimes a few other places. In our hearts, God should be in control of our spiritual weather. Let's check the barometer of our spiritual weather right now. We want our spiritual weather to be hot, bright, and sunny. We want to be alive and on fire for God. Our first point is fervent in spirit. It's taken from Romans 12:11a. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. R.H. Stoll said, we cannot avoid growing old, but we can avoid growing cold. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible uses the word aglow. In the Greek, it literally means boiling with the Spirit. It's important to feed our spiritual fires by church attendance, devotions, helping others, prayer, and of course, witnessing, as Pastor Lou and his team did this week. Our second point is active in service. Romans 12:11b says, serving the Lord. In all that we do, we should seek to serve and honor our Lord. But how can we know God's will? By simply asking God and pursuing it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, being in the way the Lord led me. Being in the way the Lord led me. And that's from Genesis 24:27. Whatever God puts before us in our home, church, school, or office, we should actively do to the very best of our abilities. Our mission service starts now, and our mission field is wherever God places us in this moment in time, space, and history. We need to be involved in practical service right now. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be something really, really small. I had a professor, Dr. Gordon Olson, at Northeastern Bible College, and he was a missionary for many years to Pakistan. He would always say, when I was in Pakistan, and he was there a long time. And guess how many people accepted the Lord? How many converts he had? One. And finally, his term of service was over, and he went on to Bible college and later to other colleges to teach and to write books and all that good stuff. In his spare time, he decided to retranslate the Bible for himself. So he's a brilliant man. Well, that one convert went on to reach others. And there's a church there in Pakistan because Dr. Gordon Olson went there. There were two children, and they were late for school. I know it never happens to your kids or my grandkids, but they were late for school, and one kid said, we should stop and pray that God will help us to be on time. And the other kid said, that's a good idea, but I think I'll run while I'm praying. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves, but when we have done our best, he will do the rest. Our third point is joyful in hope. Romans 12:12 tells us to be joyful in hope. In Webster's New World Dictionary, hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Desire accompanied by expectation. A thing that one has hoped for. A reason for hope. A person or thing on which one may base some hope. Trust. The Bible's concept of hope is a certain expectation of biblical truth. In other words, the Bible concept of hope is not a wish, but a certainty. We can rejoice in hope because we can rest in Christ for help and friendship now and for eternal life in heaven. We have joy in all that God has promised to do through Christ. You know, Christians are truly wealthy people. We are promised all the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And remember, there are two ways to be rich. One is to have all you want, and a lot of those folks aren't very happy. The other is to be satisfied with what you've got. Our fourth point is patient in tribulation. Romans 12:12b tells us to be patient in tribulation. In our country, we're not often murdered or put in prison for our faith. Most of the time, our persecution comes in the form of ridicule. People make fun of us because we hold on to values or beliefs they just can't understand. If they haven't been there, they don't understand, they don't get it. A number of years ago, my family and I, along with Pastor Dennis Lane O'Neill, went in to help at the Billy Graham rally in Central Park in New York City. As we walked in, because it was a bit of a distance from where we parked, some of us were on one side of the street, on the sidewalk, some on the other, handing out booklets about God's great love with an invitation to the rally. Well, we're happily giving out the booklets, and I noticed across the street was Pastor Dennis and then my young teenage daughter, Hope, were handing out booklets on the other side. Well, someone engaged Pastor Dennis in conversation. Meanwhile, Hope went happily on up the sidewalk, handing out the books that told people that God loves them. All of a sudden, a big guy showed up right in her face and started giving her a really hard time. Well, Pastor Dennis saw that. As quick as he could, he broke away from his conversation, caught up to help to rescue Hope. When he got there, that big guy just bolted and took off, leaving Hope with a rather confused expression on her face. He said, "You know what just happened?" She said, "No, I was telling people God loves them, giving out his book, and he's giving me a hard time." He said, "This is what's going on. The Lord is entering the park, and the demons are fleeing." Sometimes we not only need to be patient, but also to lighten up and smile. People often criticize because they neither understand what we are doing or our motives. Our fifth point is faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12c tells us, whatever the problem, we are to be faithful in prayer. Many years ago, Billy Graham was speaking to a group of young pastors. He decided to share with them the most important points of ministry, the three most important points. The young pastors had their notebooks out, they had their pencils out, and they're ready to jot down everything Billy said. He said, the first point is prayer. They wrote it down. He said, the second point is prayer. And you guessed it. He said, the third point is prayer. He said, if God's people stop praying for me, my lips would turn to clay. That's what it's all about. One of our most important jobs is prayer, and prayer will help us throughout our lives. Now, many of us have little toolkits in our houses to make minor repairs. Some of us are better at those repairs than others. I'm no expert by far. My kids and my wife will tell you that I make plenty of mistakes when I'm out there trying to fix stuff, but I give it my best shot. Dad used to tell me that he could fix anything, and he was an engineer, with duct tape and a pair of ice grips. And he often could. Prayer, we also have a spiritual toolbox, and prayer is one of the most important tools in our spiritual toolbox. And prayer will help us remember why we're here, to be a positive witness in a needy world, and to seek God with all our hearts. Now, we'll be truly rich if we seek God's things and give Jesus first place in our lives. If our first priority is God, then the rest of our lives will start to fall into place. We make plenty of mistakes. I make a lot of them. I might set the world's record for making the most mistakes, but I just keep on trusting the Lord and ask him to help fix them. Well, right now I'm reading through the Old Testament, especially relating to the nation of Israel, how it became a nation, how they left Egypt and went to the promised land, and how the kingdoms were established and continued on and on. And it's a great read, especially once you get past all the names. There's a lot of names, and I don't know about you, but they're hard for me to pronounce. My wife Kathy's from New York, so she's a little bit better at that. She's used to more unusual names than I am up here in New England. But I do my best. I used to think, why are there so many names in the Bible, especially Old Testament? And the scholars will give you many reasons, many great, deep theological reasons. But all of a sudden, God impressed upon me, people's names are important to God. Your name is important to God. You are important to God. Even I'm important to God. Isn't that great to know? Well, the children of Israel now established the promised land, and when they follow God, God blessed them. When they didn't follow God, he removed his blessing. And this happened over and over again. When they followed God, they defeated their enemies. The country was doing great. They were prosperous. In fact, a lot of their enemies said, "We're not messing with them. God's got their back. We don't have a chance." But when they didn't follow God, God removed his blessing, and they were defeated by their enemies, and terrible things happened. I go on and on all day just listing all the terrible things that happened. So when they followed God, they received his blessing. When they didn't, God didn't bless them. This happened generation after generation, king after king, as I read through the Bible. My thought was, couldn't they get a clue? Shouldn't you follow God? But it's the same in our country today. When we follow God, God's going to bless us. That's true for us as individuals, as families, as churches, and as a country. And I believe it's important that our country return to God. Our sixth point is liberal in hospitality. Romans 12, 13 tells us, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. God calls us to share, and as we do, he will bless us with more time and goods so we can continue sharing. A very wealthy woman drove to the river to enjoy the view. While she was there, a homeless person came up to her and begged for assistance. Her reaction? She drove off. Unfortunately, the next morning in the paper she read that in despair, that man had drowned himself in the river. Now, we have to be careful in this world. I'm all about safety. That's what I do for work, is keeping people safe. But remember, the opportunity we have to extend our help to someone today may be our last opportunity. I had a friend by the name of Bob McDonald, and he was a fairly high government official in the city of Attleboro. And I heard that he had been ill. Then I heard later on that he got better. And so I invited him out to lunch. We had a nice visit. We talked about all sorts of things. And finally, spiritual things. And I said, Bob, I know you're seriously ill there. What if you had died? Are you sure that you would have gone to heaven? That's kind of a bold statement to make, especially to a city official. But he said, no, I'm not sure. And so right then and there, by then we had gone to my truck. In my truck, Bob asked Jesus into his heart. And we were both happy about that. Unfortunately, a few weeks later, I heard that Bob had passed away. And I was sad because that meant no more lunches with Bob, and I wasn't going to see him for a long time. But I was happy because I knew I'd see him again someday, that he'd be in heaven. Now, when we think of hospitality, we often think of a fancy meal with fine china. But in the Greek, the root word for hospitality is the same root from which we get the word hospital or place of healing. God gives us the blessing and responsibility of providing for the needs of others and to pursue or seek after hospitality. It's not only a responsibility, but it's a great blessing when we can help others. We are to pursue kindness, gentleness, and helpfulness to all people as God allows. Now, in all my years at Central Congregational Church, I've seen the tremendous blessing the people of this church have been to each other, to my family, and those that I meet beyond our doors. Many times, people have said what a blessing the people in this church have been to them. And I want to say thank you for being a wonderful example of God's love to me, my wife, our children, and our grandchildren. And I hope that I'll be able to follow your good example. Our seventh and final point is impartial in love. Romans 12, 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. My favorite verse in the Bible, of course, is John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is universal, and therefore, we should love everyone as well. This is not as easy as it sounds. A Christian scholar said, believers are to bless their persecutors and stop cursing the rascals. Romans 12, 16a says, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. So how's the weather in your heart, in my heart? Are we spiritually hot, warm, or cold? This summer, let's ask God to heat up our spiritual lives. I give my life, this was his cry, none dare take it from him. But in love at Calvary, he laid it there. I give my life, this to my cry, I dare not keep it from him. For such love as Calvary, I lay it there. Let's take a little time each day to pray for family, church family, friends and neighbors, and to share God's great love with them. Are we ready to face the storms that life may throw at us? And they're going to come. We can be ready if the author of all weather and life lives in our hearts. Again, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can know the God of all weather, the God of all life in our hearts right now. We've all made mistakes. We've all done wrong things. We've all sinned. But Jesus died on the cross to forgive those sins. And I'm most grateful for that. We can receive Jesus as our personal Savior right now. And just like we talked to the children a few minutes ago, you can walk out of here knowing for sure, just like Bob McDonald did, that you're going to heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins, come into my heart, and make me a member of your family. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.